Okay. Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So 6:30, we will today commence the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. But before we go into it, I'd like to do a puja first, a very simple puja. So you turn to your chanting book, the old chanting book. Wait, who has taken my program away? How come the program sheet is not here? Ah, okay. I found it. Yeah. Okay. We're supposed to have a session on taking of the Bodhisattva vow after this puja. So this is optional. If you are not ready, you don't understand, you don't have the faith, you don't have to take. Understand? These are for people who already have faith, have the understanding, and you want to take. And I can tell you one thing. Later I will share with you too. You got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. Because this vow will strengthen your understanding. What is more important is to plant the seed of Bodhi. And this Bodhi mind is very important. Bodhi is enlightenment. Able to plant the seed of Bodhi means this enlightenment thought, this will take root and become very strong. Then because you decided to go this way, so you plant that seed of Bodhi with that intention to take this vow, means you completed your first stage. There are 5 stages of Bodhisattvahood leading to full enlightenment or Sammasambuddhahood. So the first stage is very simple. Make the aspiration with faith, with understanding and sincerity to go this way. Then you plant the seed of Bodhi. This seed of Bodhi has a lot of advantage after I will read to you. So just bear in mind. Not necessary everybody must go for it. And if you are not ready, not sure, you just sit at the side, observe and rejoice. Then the rest of the people who have the condition, who wants it and understand, they can follow. But before that, I will go through the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. This book is very important for those who have developed the understanding or what. You must still read through this book so that you understand. But this book come about through very, very special condition, like I explained earlier on. Then it came about. Then there are a lot of sharing from my own nature. Then there were 3 or 4 occasions where the vow were taken. And it's all described here. So that's why this book is very useful. And this book teaches you how to develop the cultivation leading to all the stages of Bodhisattvahood. Cultivation. And this is very useful. I will go through certain section because it's too thick, too much. I can't cover within this 1 hour or 1.5 hour session. Okay, now get ready. Prepare yourself. We go through the puja chanting because it will be very auspicious if you have the faith and the understanding, and we do it with understanding. Okay? We will do the simple Theravada tradition. Okay, we will pay homage to Triple Gem. Then we will chant the Theravada tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Pajama. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn over to your blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way with a Kuan Yin in front. I will read to you the preface. So the bio data, no need. You go and read. Then the website link, they are all there. This book is compiled from the combination of four transcripts arising from different Dhamma talk delivered by Brother Teo on the topic walking the Bodhisattva way and the taking of the vows over a period of 2 years. The first talk was delivered on the 2nd of January 2015, which is now almost 3 years plus already. Followed by the second talk, 19th of April 2016, and the third talk on the 26th of April 2016, then the fourth talk on the 29th of September 2016. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, cultivators and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed Bodhisattva Way Dhamma transcript note to develop a clear and better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma, to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on direct transcript from the recorded talk dated the 4th date, same, the texts are aligned as closely as possible to colloquial speeches in those talks. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of his talk. With this is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording before reading this transcript note. Then to listen to the recording audio file, you can log on to the website under repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively download the audio file via this below MP3 link. So these are all the MP3 link from our website that can allow you to listen to the audio sharing. Okay, then acknowledgement. This one you can go and read yourself. I only want to read the Kayamita who helped me to do this transcript. Paragraph 2. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Chi Guanying or Puan Chi and Sister Gladys Low, who had taken the great their great initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. So by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger. And may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for the existence of causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated and or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. So with metta, so you should thank them, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And this book came about last year, 31st July. It means we just printed not long, less than a year. Introduction to the Bodhisattva Way. This was the first sharing. This first sharing also quite useful. So I will go direct into the important part. Tonight we will have a very important discussion on the whole of the Bodhisattva way cultivation and practices. And I will also explain to you the basis and understanding behind all this so that all can have the right understanding. A lot of people don't have the understanding because they think this is a very difficult way and they dare not even think about it. But when you come to understand, you will be very surprised. Actually, it's very easy, even though it may take very long. You must have strong faith. These are the quality. And you must have sincerity and a lot of perseverance. You only need these three things. Then you must have a lot of love and compassion. With this, everything will just happen, even though we talk about eons and eons of cultivation. But in terms of time, this is very normal because a lot of Samas and Buddha took much longer, especially Amitabha Buddha. It took him 12 world cycles to perfect all of his wisdom and virtue needed to complete the cultivation, even though it was done in such a way which seems quite impossible to many people, yet he could accomplish it. If he could accomplish it, there is no other Samasambuddha who could not complete it, because his vow were extremely extensive and unusual. Yet he was able to perfect them until Pure Land can become a reality. There was a great breakthrough. That's why the Pure Land teaching is very popular and very unique. The main thing that people don't understand is the uniqueness of all these great beings' nature. So you know how to connect and develop the affinity with all these great beings' nature, then it can help you in many ways, especially your cultivation. This is just a briefing for those who are here early. Afterwards, when we start, we will go through the whole thing again. Then you can participate and ask whatever question you have. Don't be shy, because this is a very rare condition. When there is condition, if you don't ask, then when this form of mind is no more, there is no more condition for you to ask. So while this form of mind is still around, make full use of it. Okay? Jin Hao come. Why did I call him? We are about to start. Oh, he just walked in. The puja already. So yours is the last one. You can offer those garland over the images. He always bring the garland with polai and pijirio. I'm sorry, Polian. Sorry, yeah? I pronounced her name wrongly. Okay, now it's exactly 8 p.m. that day. Yeah? We shall prepare for puja. Maybe we give Brother Suyan and me for all that time they were around, the opportunity to light the candle and incense. Come, the both of you. You all haven't done puja here before, in my house. Come. You light the candle? Well, Brother Suyan light the incense. These flowers from Sister Padmasuri and Brother Tiong, they are very nice. Well, that day we really make the offering because it was very auspicious. And this thing all come from Kayan Metta Fund, so you all can rejoice. We should rejoice with all the offering, and you can, and we can start the puja now. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we can skip all the puja thing, because this one is standard in our chanting walk. Then we did the invocation to the devas. This one I think I get Engbi to recite, so that we myself invite them. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and the devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. You got the mic, Anna? Okay, good. You follow the text,
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gajantu Devata Sadhamma Munira Sampanno sugato loka vidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandhitiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanayiko pachatang veditabbo vinyohiti supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho samicipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho yadidam chattari purisa yugani atta purisa puggala esa bhagavato savaka sangho ahuneyo bahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyakethang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu.
Okay, now I will continue, So this particular sharing is very important. I preview a little bit because I don't have enough time to go through the whole thing. But you have the condition and the time, you should go back and read the whole book. And this is very useful. Okay, I just quickly check out something. Breathing prior to taking the thing. Okay, this one is very useful. Turn to page 87. Sorry, before that, we go to page 10 first. I need to introduce you all to the causes and conditions for this particular sharing. Last paragraph, 82. Just relax your body and mind and we will start our sharing. Tonight's session will be very unique and special, as I promised you all months ago, even before the Amei San spiritual trip. to speak on this topic. Walking the Bodhisattva way, I knew then there were causes and conditions for such a teaching to come to this world. And this particular condition was very unique because I actually came about, because it actually came about when I was sharing the Buddha Dhamma earlier on. Somehow this particular topic kept on arising. Then the funny thing is, all of a sudden, many Kayamita wrote to me through email to inquire about this topic. They asked me about this type of cultivation. A few of them even told me before this, they did not even dream of taking the Bodhisattva vow. They were already very contented with the sainthood way. But somehow things happened. Deep inside, they felt there was something they had to do. Then because of all these conditions, when I saw the email and inquiry, I replied to them all. Then later on, another strong condition arose. When I was at the Ciji Jingshi bookshop. They have this bookshop, I think in Tropicana. I just picked up one book with the title Wu Liang Yi Jing. That's why the book just happened to be there. And when I bought that book, the young lady looked at me. Banana English educated reading this sutta. You understand? Then she asked me, "You're not Ciji member?" I say no. Oh, what is in her heart? I think she want to ask me, "Do you understand this book or not?" Then the other one, more senior one, later on come. Oh, I saw this book. Speak in Mandarin. "很好啊，很好啊，你会读啊." I speak by English. I say, "I'm English educated. Luckily got English translation." I said, "Otherwise, I don't know how to read." Then he keep on asking me questions. Anyway, cut the matter short. I bought the book. Then I went back. I have a look. I didn't really know what this Wu Liang Yi Jing is all about. I heard that it is a Pure Land teaching, but I don't know what it is until I read the book. Because all along, I thought the Pure Land teaching is interesting because I told you the two very profound verses, remember? What are the two? 什么业障? Yeah? 所知障, 烦恼障. So that one impressed me. Then I bought this book. So I thought I can find these two stanza there. But I was so surprised. You know what this book is? I only knew it was a Pure Land teaching. So I flicked over the book and I saw this sutta. Then when I read the sutta, I found it so strange, but familiar. It first talked about the cultivation of the great beings, the Bodhisattva, and how they cultivated the Bodhisattva way. Then there was another section that talked about perfection of Pusien, Pusa. You know who is Pusien? Samantara Bhadra Bodhisattva. The one on the elephant, you see in the main shrine. It was all in the sutta. Then when I read the one on the Bodhisattva way, which I wrote to you all later on, it was in the email. It was so beautiful. Well, everything that was written there, I realized I had already done them all before. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who had affinity, who have the affinity born of their past cultivation. That's why I say, you all don't know who you are only. You're not simple one. 不简单. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew this was something where they had to seriously develop the understanding. Then when I started to share some of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, I came to know that many cultivators and living beings, because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of this way, they are not even dream of walking this way because it appeared like impossible to them. They had this thought that told them, "This is not for me, impossible." But this is all a fallacy. That is what your thought will tell you, will say. That's why when you understand this teaching and great vow, perfection and the virtue of all these great beings, especially all the four Pusa, which are the great Bodhisattva and Sammasambuddha, you will come to understand how unique and special they are. You only need to develop the very strong faith and sincerity and the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them. That word affinity is very important. And connect to their nature. Then their nature will take you along and help you walk this way. Technically, you only need to have faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Then the way is there. As simple as that. Huh? The only thing you need are three qualities that I always said. That is faith, the sincerity, and the diligence, or perseverance. You must have very strong faith in the Triple Gem. And then you have to be very sincere. The third one is diligence or perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect to the way. You can develop the affinity with all these great beings. Then when the affinities are established, this Bodhisattva way becomes very clear and easy. That's why you need to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. That's the reason why the Buddha asks you to take refuge. Taking refuge is to cultivate strong affinity, but many Theravada practitioners fail to understand what taking precept in the Triple Gem meant. The Triple Gem actually represents all the Buddhas, all the truth, which is the teaching, and all the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. That's the reason why the Triple Gem is very unique and very beautiful. These three qualities are not difficult if you already have the understanding, means your faith, your sincerity, and just persevere. Not difficult, isn't it? These three things. Yeah? You can do it. Or not? Ah. So as you cultivate, as you move along the path of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have affinity with all these great beings, and you have the determination to cultivate this Bodhi mind, the cultivation will become easy. Do you understand? Do you remember where I talked to my Kayamita at that time? Our Taiwan trip, spiritual trip, where we visited Zhongtai Chanshi. Do you know what was written on the leaflet? That trip, Sui An's mother was with us, 84 years old, I think. Very, very good trip. What was the main reason this monastery was built? It was told to us that every year millions of people will come and visit that way place, Zhongtai Chanshi. Then what do you look forward to? Ah, yes, the Bodhi talk. To plant the seed of Bodhi, to arise the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh, to go this way. Cultivators and visitors to this way place only have to develop the faith and condition to arise the single thought of Bodhi, Bodhi Singh. To walk this way, then the world will never be lacking in all the great beings, because it all started with that one single thought of Bodhi. All Bodhisattvas start that way. That is the first stage of Bodhi development. First stage of Bodhisattvahood development. So it's just a single thought of Bodhi to realize enlightenment. Then one must have the faith, perseverance, and compassion to walk this way. I will connect all this understanding to the Bodhisattva vow and precepts. The Bodhisattva precepts and vows are very important. These initial precepts and vows, the three set of pure precepts and the four basic vows, can already take you along. But later on, as you walk this way, you will know how to modify all these basic vows to suit. And you can also include all the special vows that your nature has. You will come to understand all this later. That's why every Bodhisattva is different. Every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva are basically always the same. And they complement the three types of pure precepts which Bodhisattva take. I will explain them to you later. Now I will read to you some of the email I received from the Kayamita to develop the faith and the understanding. Then we can continue with our sharing. If you have any question, you can ask. You are free to ask. Do make use of this condition to ask, while this form of mind is still around. Whatever you want to know about this way and the Buddha Dhamma, you should ask. Otherwise, when the condition ceases to be, whatever you want to ask is already too late. It was the case of Venerable Ananda. When Sakyamuni Buddha mentioned that he would pass away in 3 months' time, Ananda was crying in grief because he was only a Sotapanna then. And he has so much emotion until he forgot to ask the Buddha all the important questions. Luckily, Anuruddha, the other disciple of the Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few key questions before the passing away of the Sakyamuni Buddha. Hence, at the last minute, Venerable Ananda went to ask the Buddha those important questions. He asked the Buddha, "After you are gone, who shall we follow?" The Buddha replied, "Follow the Sutta and the Vinaya." This means all the discourses that he had taught and all the precepts he had laid down. The main core precept can be held on to, but he did say, as for the minor precept, one can do away with them, depending on the condition and the situation. After that, I think Venerable Ananda was also told to ask a few other questions, even though what he wanted most was the Buddha to stay back. But the Buddha said no point, because when the Buddha made that decision, he told Ananda, this physical body, the Nimanakaya of the Buddha, was already like a worn-out block cart, waiting to collapse any time. Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the world and sentient being has deprived him of enough rest. That was the reason why he passed away early at the age of 80 only, whereas most of his disciples were able to live until the age of 120. As per my earlier advice, when there are conditions, do make full use of them. Okay, I will read to you one of the emails that I have compiled and sent out. I think there are two. I will read to you this first one. Sutta of innumerable meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. This one is on virtue. Don't underestimate virtue. Virtue is very powerful. Now I read, you listen. You have to listen to this. When you go this way, when you take the Bodhisattva precept, do start with the planting of the first seed of Bodhi thought or the Bodhi mind. Because finally, your whole cultivation will embody all this understanding. This is mentioned in the Sutta of the Innumerable Meaning, Chapter 1 on Virtue. So the whole cultivation center on virtue, nothing else. See how important. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. The sutta say, listen, true bodhisattva are wise being with. You remember this. So if you want to take this way, you will be one of the wise beings. And great with great compassion. Really, I'm not joking. That is the opening statement. True bodhisattva are wise beings with great compassion. Then the sutta further describes, their mind are. You want to have this quality or not? Then go this way. Ever abiding in. What is this? Constantly meditative. Constantly meditative, because he say ever abiding in meditation, no. Peaceful, free of desire, and immune from. You want that type of mind or not? Someone wait for what? Or wrong thought. In this conditioned world, samsara, you are fighting your wrong thought, and you want to play with this wrong thought. What type of game is that? Game of suffering. That's why my daughter say, write it on the board. See? And my wife write the Mandarin one. How to read? 停什么? 停止玩痛苦的游戏啊。Correct. So stop playing the game of? You play not enough. 60 years old still want to play. You better wake up. Still young. Mateo 93. And I saw the video today, where they comment, where in the world you find a 93-year-old prime minister? That was a comment from BN. You know how Mahathir replied? No? Yes, I am 93, but I can still drive Porsche. I can still ride horse. And I can still defeat F01. He's so confident. No? You also know? You also receive? I don't know where that was ever. I did not send out. Maybe after retreat. He's so confident now. That's why you are not old. If Lao Ma can be like that, you also, I think, got chance. But you're not doctor, that's why he doctor. No? The wife also doctor. No? Oh, okay. Okay, we continue. Then their mind is a mind of what? Not transparent, no. Translucent means can see a bit, cannot see all. Understand? Translucent. Not transparent, Translucent purity. Very deep meaning. With what? Vast? Profound? Wow, that's why translucent, you cannot see through it, understand? You know how powerful their vow is or not? They are very, very extensive, vast, and very profound. They hold what? Unwavering for how long? Ask you to make adhitan also so difficult. People make this type of heavy vow for aeons. Countless aeon, not only aeon. You know what is countless aeon? Cannot count. Don't know how many zero at the back. Having attained great wisdom, what they do? That's why perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita Sutta, Singjing Heart Sutta. You want to have that type of mind or not? No sound? Oh, shit. This type of mind also don't want to, then I cannot teach you. You better than Kuan Yin. And come to understand what? That's why this sutta is called what? The sutra of innumerable meaning, understand? That's why this sutta is called Wu Liang Yi Jing. Means they understand all the innumerable teaching. They bring refreshing and help. Ignorant or clean up all. You want or not? Some more doubt. With boundless, they work to suffering beings. You are kaki pun kiu ye che. That's why you must go this way. Bodhisattva are true what? Your friend also you don't know, don't recognize. Some more? And guide. They guide you, they mentor you. They help and enable. Why so silent? Louder. Okay, read together. Bodhisattvas are living beings through mentor and guide. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing without being asked. They offer guidance to. So you some more paise. Go and create affinity, understand? Take refuge, buddhang saranang gacchami. Understand what that chant is. You are creating affinity with the whole triple gem, do you know or not? All Buddhas of the three period of time, all the Dhamma. And you say your Theravada only one Buddha. Mahayana, so many, you jealous. That's why that type of mind is not a pure mind, understand or not? It's a deluded mind. So this is what the Bodhisattva are. These are what the great beings are. They are living beings, place of? When you around this great being, you happy or not? You peaceful or not? This retreat also you can sense it already. True or not? They uphold what? Not your five precepts, no. The Buddha's precept, no. Of purity and then? Even? You can or not? Look, kiasi one. But now, without that wisdom, sure kiasi lah. Kiasu, kiasi. But when you have, you very brave. They never become? That's why Sandra, Sister Sandra, from that moment onward, vow? This must be the determination. Then? You can do it. Coming, very good. Their mind abides in what? Day and night, you know. That's why constantly meditative, ever mindful. That is what heedfulness is all about. They abide in their purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesomeness of body, mind, and speech. This type of quality being you don't want to become. You want to become human being. Correct, no? Some more got one word in front, no? Deluded human being. Heedless living being. Oh, that one you like, no? I don't know why. Human being, very funny. Make vow to one. Oh, because of game. They're attracted to this game. Like my classmates say, don't want to go heaven. Heaven no kaki. Down there, a lot of kaki. Mahjong kaki. Drinking kaki. Gambling kaki. All down there. He say, because these people cannot go up. So you think like that. Susah lah. You are so selfish, concerned about your own happiness. If only you can be a bodhisattva. Because you know this is not real. That's why you can come for the living being. Understand? What are their expert understanding? The cultivation, the hallmark of winning. They develop no thought means silent mind, true mind, heedful mind. From there they cultivate. Then no mark. Mark of what? A self-cultivating mark of living being, mark of Dhamma and life. That's why they know these are all not real. That's why they can go all out. What is eons of life? Nothing. Understand? Not so real. But every time they come with this understanding, the form and mind is so beautiful. That's why they understand. That's why they choose to come. They are not like most of you have to come. You got no choice, no say. Understand? Who bring you? Your good friend, your karma, your karmic nature. So, learn to cultivate. Then you don't have to come. Then you can choose to come. How to choose? You need people to teach you. Choose to be happy. You need people to teach you. But you know this way. You know how to make vow and aspiration to have the condition to come back. Without the vow, you cannot come back. But you already have great wisdom. You no more avijja, no more ignorant. So when this form am I die, no rebirth consciousness. How to come back? How to come back? Come back with a pure mind. Take vow. What vow? The first basic vow. This nature of mind, not this form of mind. This form of mind, only this segment. For what? This nature of mind vow to liberate the countless, limitless living beings in this universe. You can only do this with great compassion and love. Understand? That's why this mind is a pure mind. Pure love, pure compassion. No self involved. Just come for the living being. No selfishness. That's how that vow arises, the condition. Because you make that vow, you got the karmic nature. Then this karma, karmic nature, condition of form and mind to come. But you need a consciousness to go in, no? So what consciousness? From the vow, the pure mind. Love and compassion. That pure mind went in. That's why you don't know how to come. That's why you don't have a choice. You have to come. But when you know how to come, you can choose when you want to come. You put in the vow, what condition, what civilization, when? When my Kayamita around. Of course, you won't limit your vow to so low. Understand? Whether they around or not around, they have to follow you, understand? If they love you, understand? So that's why people make aspiration. Why? When Maitreya arise, I vow to arise. But they forgot, no? Maitreya arise, they didn't vow to recognize. No? And they didn't vow to take birth at the same place as where Maitreya take place. No? And the planet is so big. No? Understand? No? Maitreya, let's say, take birth in India. You in where? Malaysia, not so bad. God, can go there. Africa, Gobi Desert. Understand? No? Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, Arctic Circle, Antarctic Circle. How? No education, nothing. Or like Hui Ning. Hui Ning also not educated. But you don't have people to recite Diamond Sutta to you. So, Hui Ning born there also no use, understand? That Hui Ning was not born there, understand? That's why he will be born in the place he choose. That's how it can happen, understand? He has the mother like that. Then he in that town. Then that merchant will know how to recite Diamond Sutta. If you know how to make affinity, then create Kayanmita. Some of the Kayanmita volunteer, say, when I become Bodhisatta, I will come and recite Diamond Sutta for you. But you didn't cultivate. Listen also don't know what is that. So, how? Want to help you also cannot. So, a lot of things you yourself have to decide. You understand or not? Yeah? Interesting or not? Then, after that, I received a few more type of email. One of them was from a very special Kayanmita. It was definitely a lady. Wow, so lady, happy, eh? Because all these were mainly written by ladies. I don't know why. Eh? Men, no interest. No. Men more interested in what? Making money. Eh? Correct or not? Then look for number three. But lady, why? More emotional, understand or not? Then, because of that, what happened? They need to go for spiritual to understand so that this emotion don't lead to the game of suffering. Either already cow in suffering, that's why I come for meditation, understand? So there's a reason why. But all these are not the time. All these got their past or no. I read on you and no. It was definitely a lady because all these were mainly written by ladies. The title she used was, he put on the title of the email, Arahanta and the Bodhisatta Path. No. She said, I have been resisting giving the issue about the Arahanta and Bodhisatta vow any serious thought since I am still a Puttujana. Who say that? Your thought, understand, Mandima, you don't know who you are. He said, no wisdom yet. Oh, that word yet, very important, no. Tomorrow can be different, no. Because now, maybe Tara, understand, no. I have intended to wait until I have some measure of wisdom, no. Wow. Means what? After attaining the path and fruition, before deciding on the specific path to take. You know what they want to do? Buy insurance. Minimum sotapan first. Otherwise dangerous, no. Because he heard what? They heard what? People say you take the vow, block you, no. You cannot become arahan, no. Logical or not? You heard before or not? Must renounce your vow. Even Achaman's biography also they write there. So you panic, no. Then you ask the question, who said that? That thought. Then who are you? That segment of the life, that form of mind. That one is not you. And you want to become arahan, ah? That's why delusion. That question comes from the thought. When you don't understand, you still have mark all over, you know or not? Huh? Question mark. Not that type of mark. Then what happened? However, she said, there seems to be some uneasiness or unease each day for the time being. I only aspire to work towards arahanship. So enough, satisfied, contented, nothing wrong. I have no courage or wisdom whatsoever to walk the Bodhisattva path. Then last Friday, what happened? On the 10th of October 2014. When I read your email about the Bodhisattva way, which I sent out this one, the sutra innumerable meaning, something really happened to her. No? You listen. I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to that my tears flow like a tap now. You understand? Then what happened? I am sincerely moved to tears. Each time I recite mindfully Pusien Pusa Pusien Pusa stand great vow in Mandarin, because she Mandarin educated. After your explanation I knew they are tears of joy. Then on Monday, I received a WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking me to Siu Pu Ti Singha. Understand or not? It means to cultivate the Bohi mind. That's why we got such coincidence. then you know what happened? To walk the Bodhisattva way. So these two conditions remind came back, meaning to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and to cultivate Pusatta. Somehow this time, I didn't resist. I kneel humbly before the Buddha Rupang and express very sincerely my initial aspiration or vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. And humbly ask Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. May she got her pass. Then you know what happened. Then when I sat in meditation, what happened? The Heart Sutta kept playing non-stop in my mind, even when I was sleeping. You got such experience? You better take the vow. Don't wait. This lasted for? Then what happened? I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. A few days ago, doubt, because mundane mind, understand? Hope I have the condition to cultivate the parami needed to support me along the way. Then, at the same time, the second part is on delusion and dream state. She wrote another email. When I contemplated on all the dreams that I had, I realized that when this egoic self was not the main character in the dream, I had complete awareness of the dream. From when it was about to start, she is aware, right until the end. When the dream ends, I could even become a critic of the dream, see? And in the dream state itself. However, when the egoic self or mind was the main character in the dream, such detached awareness of the arising was lost. Because he cannot just be aware where the egoic mind comes in. And I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in the emotion and feeling. This delusion was extremely strong. An example was the dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very tall ladder. When I was about 3 steps below the peak or summit, I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I could see the ground. Then I sensed the feeling of fear arising. What is fear? Wrong thought, mental hindrance. Then suddenly a very strong voice say, "You are not dizzy, you are not falling." Then instantly what happened? All feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete shift. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Because the mundane mind interferes, understand not? That's why you have fear. When you are with your true mind, no such thing, you just do. Brother Teo, thank you so much for your time, for taking your time to read my, she said, rumbling. Is it rumbling? Why no reply? She is not rumbling. She was full of joy, telling me all these things. Your patience and compassion inspire and drive me on to cultivate sincerely with metta and respect always. Signed. So this was the email we should all rejoice with wholesomeness. We are saying, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then there are many of you, maybe at this point in time, you may not know your past as yet because you have not yet really connected. You have not really connected and developed the ability to recall your past cultivation. Not really in the sense of recalling past life. Recall here means after you have connected, then all the understanding will come back to you because you inherit them through your spiritual nature. It's not about reading past life because this spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. I had explained this during our last Thursday class sharing. The transcript is going to be ready soon. You should read the book. Who are you? What are you again? How the two nature, spiritual nature and karmic nature interact. And how the form and mind come about. So who are you? What are you? It is all very clearly explained in that green book. Like what I have explained. The moment you are born, karma will come into play. Because according to the Buddha, what he say? You are born of your karma, add to your karma, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of your karma. And when the Buddha say you are born of your karma, he's not referring to your true nature. He's referring to your the karmically conditioned form and mind, the human being, which is subject to karma. Then there is another nature, which is the spiritual nature. Means your cultivation of your spiritual qualities, your virtue and wisdom. And this spiritual nature is unlike your karmic nature. Just like what I explained in the talk, it's all in the transcript book. It's very easy to understand and also very clearly explained in there. Regarding the spiritual nature, not until you connect with your true mind or true nature, you cannot inherit anything from it. Now you know why it's so difficult, understand or not? You have to connect, means silence your mind until you realize the true mind. When you know how to meditate and how to silence your mind, then you can connect. The moment the silent mind touches the nature, the form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast. It will understand what is sati. It will also understand what that nature is. Then once you go through cessation, you would have passed by the enlightenment stages of the sainthood way. But if you have cultivated this before, they will move across very fast. And you will reach back to your past cultivation level pretty fast. That's how you will bypass all those. Then you suddenly come back to where you were in the past. Then from there you continue. That's how you inherit. Then if you want it to, you can understand many things via the silent mind. Once connected, you inherit your nature's past perfection and cultivation. You will understand the Dhamma very fast and very easily. You may also come to realize that earlier on, you may not understand many of these things. But all of a sudden, you can understand them now. And there is a lot of things you will come to understand. Things which you may not have learned them this life, yet you can understand. You will also come to know how they actually arise and how they pass away and how this is possible. So all this, your nature will know. Just like what happened to me since the year 1986, everything just happened. The teacher came, the book came, the guide came. Then within 3 years after I connect, all this past understanding came back to me, to my nature. Then when I read the sutta, or when I heard truth, I could just understand them, even though some of this understanding were not written in any book before. There was no doubt or fear, nothing, because the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And there is no doubt, and everything is very clear. Because of that, you will also come to understand all this when the time comes. That's why I always say, you will never know who you are until connect to where? Connect to hell. Connect to petaraya. I say, connect to your true nature. Understand or not? The silent mind. That's why I ask you to meditate, to silence your mind. You don't know what it is and don't want to try also. And ask funny questions. Brother Song, your name was being quoted. Do you remember Brother Song? He was the only male Kanyamita connected thus far, but didn't write to me. Don't know how to write email, I think. He always talked to me, but he never write to me any email. Initially, he also has this thought, because the mundane mind could not understand. He always say, he is very chawan in Mandarin, meaning very slow and weak in his cultivation. But the moment he connect, he moves so fast. How is it possible? Things that he never understood before, after he connect, the moment he reads my Dhamma note, the transcript note, the dependent origination of Patisasamupada teaching again, he straight away understand despite the fact that before he connect, he had tried reading them 6 times, you ask him. Yet he could not understand. Then after he connect, immediately all those words has meaning. But all of a sudden after he connect, he reads the note again and he could understand. The reason being, this teaching comes from the silent mind. So if you have not realized the silent mind's awakening, you cannot understand. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about the great difference between thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. And during that time, he kept on having this joy of understanding for 2 or 3 months after he had connected. Then he kept on sharing with others and me, reporting things that a normal person could not understand. So these are the things that are possible, and your time will also come. You like it or not? You only need to? The faith. You have or not? The 3 things I have written on the whiteboard. What is it? Saddha is faith. Then? Sincerity. You sincere or not? And the? Willing to strive on or not? No reply on it. Then just cultivate and don't try to know, remember? Forget about what the thoughts are telling you. Like, this way is so difficult, impossible, not for me, etc. No more such gullible thinking, understand or not? You understand? Then, we are also very blessed or lucky because when we went to Fo Quang San, the monastery of Sun Yen Fa Si in Taiwan, I saw this book. Fa Gu San. I always like to quote the singing Fa Si, the Fo Quang San one, because that one more well known. This one is meditation one, less well known. I saw this book, The Bodhisattva Path, Direction to Buddhahood. When I flicked through the pages, I saw that it was very simple and very easy to understand because this is written for normal people who are keen to walk the path. It is very simple and very basic, not much thing there. But because my nature understands what this is. And this is where and how you start. Afterwards, I will read it to you, and I hope I have the time. Almost an hour has gone. Okay, I better finish off this email. I think the rest you go back and read. Okay? These are very interesting, so we can save time. So all these are very useful. Okay. Now you go back and read. Then we turn to... This request for guidance one, page 18 at the bottom. This one also very important. I have to read the paragraph before. Because how the first request for this Bodhisattva way come about. Okay, maybe I read from second paragraph onward. Then you have to connect. After connecting, only then you can continue with your cultivation. So every life you come, you actually do not have much time to cultivate. A lot of people don't even have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma. We are born during non-sasana. So if you don't have their protection, means Kuan Yin's blessing, protection and guidance, before you even connect, chances are the form and mind is already gone. Like this life, I myself can recall. Not less than 3 incidences, like I told you. This form and mind of mine was supposed to die before it can even get connected. So it was because of this nature's affinity with this great being, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature, that have protected this form and mind of mine from dispersing. And they don't have to be around because it can manifest via their vows and their understanding of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And it will also know how to connect. Then life after life, because this nature of mind make this vow, this aspiration to seek their protection via the power of merits, wholesomeness and understanding, hence this became possible. When you seek their blessing, protection and guidance, their nature will continuously guide you, protect you and bless you. That's why you are very well protected, like very lucky, very blessed, and properly guided. Then somehow everything will fall into place. That's why I say their vow, their nature will take you through. You remember? Technically, you don't have to do anything. You only have to have this understanding to develop affinity, have gratitude, have all the 3 qualities of faith, sincerity, and diligence. That's why you must know how to develop and look for this affinity and connection. I will continue with my reply to the lady's email. I said I will explain fully when I meet up with you in person. There are many too, others too, who are interested in going this way, I told that lady. Maybe we can gather them together and we can have a separate private session on this topic. Bye, and with metta always. That's why the condition comes. So that was the main condition that led to the first private meeting. I also promised you all that it would be held after our Ermeisan trip. You know when the Brother Song connect at the Ermeisan trip? But because of his great affinity with Pusien. I read on, you understand. I was thinking this year end break was the best. Initially, a few Kayimta told me they could not make it. But I think the turnout for the session, which is today, is very good. Most of us can make it. And we should thank Sister Padmasuri for suggesting the date. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, she replied to me. The title was Request for Guidance and Reporting. The lady Kalayamita said, Dear Brother Teo, I was filled with joy reading your email reply. I am most thankful for my good karma to have you guiding me on this Bodhisattva way. It is a wonderful idea to have a private session with others who aspire on the same path. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And then she ended her email via signing off as with heartfelt gratitude and respect. As I replied to her by saying, do listen to yesterday's 12 October 2014 Wu Ping Ching Se recording and sharing, because there were conditions for some of the below understanding to be shared. Please do listen to the later part of the talk and the many mysterious things that happened on that day too. It was just like the earlier Klang talk, so that one can skip. So all this you go and read yourself. Then, page 20. Never mind, you go back and read, otherwise too long. Okay, then we go to page 87. This one more important. This one teach you clearly how to do it. Now I will do the briefing before we take the Bodhisattva vow. So today also same. Precepts or aspiration and the four basic vow. I will guide you along. This book, The Method of No Method, came last Sunday when Sister Yun Chan, you should thank Yun Chan, had an appointment with me. He suddenly go to Taiwan trip again on his own, and went to this Pa Ku San. Then he invited me for dinner. I also didn't know. During dinner, he passed me this book. Then you listen what she say. She was so kind as to take me and my wife for dinner. After that, she told me she went to Taiwan. She followed the tour organized by Ciji, English section. But this time, she went to visit Master Sun Yan's Fa Ku San again. Then she brought back two books. One book is this book with the title The Method of No Method. And she said, just like Brother Teo's teaching on no method, means the method never defines the meditation. So because of that, she brought the book back and gave it to me. For those who don't understand what is meditation, they will believe that meditation method do defines the meditation. So if you don't understand, you will think it's logical. Teach me how to meditate. What you want? Method, technique, isn't it? But the truth is, they are not the meditation. That's the reason why he never used the word meditation. He said the method of no method. What is the method of no method? No need to use any method, understand? When you meditate with a method, it means you don't understand what meditation is. Method is just a skillful mean with some instruction to train your mind. She asked me, Brother Teo, do you want to read this book? The title is so interesting, and she passed it to me. And initially, I thought it was just about meditation. But it turned out to be a retreat conducted by him in 1990 at the Fa Ku San branch in New York, USA. This book became the bestseller. A bestseller, and is indeed a very beautiful book. He taught silent illumination, which was the meditation that he learned all those years. His silent illumination teaching is in fact quite similar to what I teach, except that I use another name and word to describe it. I call it what? Awareness. I always say, meditate with the silent mind, with clear awareness within. He also knew that silence without illumination is samatha meditation, understand not? Because without awareness, without illumination, his illumination is awareness. Later on, I will read to you. Then you will understand. Illumination is what? You are aware, understand? You must have the ability to be silent with a free mind, with full awareness in the midst of daily life. And that type of samadhi is the real one. Not the one that sit like a statue and have no without awareness one in concentration. So this one is very important. Then next page. Illumination doesn't mean see light, understand or not? Don't because the word illuminate you want to look for light inside there. No, awareness, clarity, that is, your mind is like bright and clear. It means clarity and awareness within. It can live life, it can understand things, and it can awaken to the truth, not in meditative absorption, not in one-pointedness concentration. Then there is another part which he talked about, the Bodhi mind, which was what I wanted you all to develop the understanding. But I didn't expect this topic to come so fast because my nature really didn't expect got people interested in this teaching. That's why I never teach. I limit to the Heart Sutta where all the basic sainthood way are taught, of course with some Mahayana teaching, but never mention about the Bodhisattva way except in between, once a while without elaboration. At first I thought I would teach you all stage by stage. Initially, maybe just to let you understand the importance of planting the seed of Bodhi, to develop the Bodhi resolve to walk this way. Then only I will slowly teach you all the other thing. But then this book came in the nick of time, like meant to be. When I read it last night, I was full of joy because the part on the Bodhi mind is so beautiful. It's very beautiful. And how did Yun Chan know how to bring back this book? You think somebody talk to him? No, because the nature, the karmic nature, your affinity, the condition, everything set it. Then this book came. Then I decided to photostat the book for some of you. And before I send it out for photostat, I used my handphone to WhatsApp the three important pages for you all to read first. The five stages of Bodhi mind development to realize Sammasambuddhahood is so clearly listed in those page 39 to 41 of that book. But he didn't explain, no. He just write the five stages, no. And straight away my nature understand what it is and I can explain. That's why it come at the right time. When you take the Bodhisattva vow, the first stage of Bodhi mind development is to just aspire, so difficult, man. You do today, you already first stage already, you know. Pusa, no. People address you. Pusa, get hood. Get hood. Later on, ta pusa. So that the seed of Bodhi is planted deep in your consciousness. Understand? Is this first step very difficult? Aspire only what? They say, men pun one. Msai lok tang. Understand not? Is there any danger? Scared until they not take. There is none, isn't it? So forget about what these people tell you. Those who don't understand, they put fear into you. They say what? Taking the Bodhisattva vow is a serious matter, no? Because it involves eon and eon of cultivation. Who say that? The thought, the mundane mind, meaning the ego is there, delusion is there, and the fear that arises is from delusion. And these people who say all these things are not much different from those rigid, have to quote this word, I put inverted comma. I never put all Theravada Buddhists. Huh? I said the rigid Theravada Buddhists who doesn't believe in Mahayana teaching. And they go around telling people that Mahayana teaching is not the real. You heard of this or not? Huh? You all haven't heard? Oh, then good for you. Means you got good karma. If you do this and put fear into all these potential aspirants who want to walk this way, the Bodhisattva way, to plant the seed of Bohi, then do you know what will happen to you? Your karmic obstruction, kau kau, when I tell you. You will be obstructed from receiving what? Huh, for? I already chincha chincha keki liao. It can be for many, many eons, I tell you. You understand? That's why don't simply say things when you don't understand and not sure. That's the reason why recently there were at least two or three Kayamita who came and talked to me on this matter. Because of what they have heard and read from other sources. They say going this way is dangerous because a lot of things you cannot realize and do. And there is a lot of restriction too. Some even quote the sutta. No? Then one lady say what? I am not ready. I don't have this type of quality. Then I reply, please do understand that all these are the thought telling you. This is not wisdom. What you have got to lose by making all this aspiration and making the four basic vow, does it cause you any problem or harm? Or it only benefit you? All these are very simple inquiry, but you don't want to inquire. You go and listen to rumor. No? And now they call it fake news. Going to be gazetted some more. And the four basic vow didn't even say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. It is no different from just taking what? Except it's more extensive, understand or not? So you take precept, you didn't have all this fear. But you take vow, you think that vow is very heavy. It cannot fulfill lightning strike. You believe your own tradition. You remember Chinese? We go chiu chua. You tell lie? Holy Kong Pasi. You got this type of fear because of your conditioning from your culture. It's no different from just taking the precept, except now you vow through an understanding which is even more beautiful. So I will give this book to those who have understanding, condition, and affinity to receive it. But today I don't have the book. Yun Chan, you have the original, isn't it? So you don't need a copy. And you know what she told me? No? I don't know where I misplaced it. Then you know what happened. I said, anybody saw the original book of Sister Yun Chan? Then I said, wow, Yun Chan, fantastic, isn't it? Dharma book also can let go. With this, I will commence the actual sharing. This sharing you listen, very important. This few pages I must read to you. You better listen. Cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Then after that, we can take the vow. Those who can see their WhatsApp, you can refer to it. Well, I read out the part on the five stages of Bohi mind development. This book is based on the meditation retreat conducted by Master Shen Yan in the year 1990. He used the title, The Method of No Method. There were two parts to the retreat. The first part was conducted by Master Shen Yan himself. And the second part, he based it on the very famous Zen master or Master Hong Tzu's teaching. It seems Hong Tzu is the second generation disciple of Hui Ning. See? Hui Ning's second generation disciple. The six patriarchs, these are very beautiful teaching. The Master Hong Tzu taught silent illumination. That's why Master Shen Yan learned from him. I think Master Shen Yan must have learned from him. Both are very beautiful sharing and teaching. I like this part. The fifth day of sharing, when he spoke on the topic, arousing the Bohi mind. Now I will read it to you. See you know how to do it. Huh? To have the Bohi mind or the Bohi Chitta. You heard of this word, isn't it? Chitta is mind. Bohi is enlightenment. So Tibetans like to use this word. Bohi Chitta is very important. In the Tibetan tradition, you always hear them talk about bodhicitta to arouse the bodhi mind. Bodhi means enlightenment, just like bodhi tree means the tree of enlightenment. Do you all remember when we were in Taiwan about 2 or 3 years back? I think a lot of Kayanaman went with us. Even Brother Suyan's mom was also with us. We went to the temple Zhongtai Chanshi. What did the abbot who was there, who was over 90 years old, told us in the booklet he wrote? He said he built this way place not to become famous, not to be a monument for tourists to come and visit. Do you know what his main intention was? He said, millions will come and visit this place every year, especially those who have affinity. He only need to have at least one of them. After they come and visit, they can feel, recall their past, and renew their seed of, or Bodhi Singh, or plant the seed of Bodhi to walk this way. Or those who have the affinity to develop the faith when they are here. And they somehow got the condition to decide to plant the seed of Bodhi. He said that single wholesome thought of Bodhi is very important. And if even only a single living being among the many that go that way finally realize what? You chabi liao. Then all the money and expenses and the hard work they do is already worth it. Understand? So like this way place, you donate. And so many of you make that determination to plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk the first stage of Bodhisattva-hood cultivation. You know what is the condition? And I can tell you, here not one in many, many fulfill. Here, chances of fulfillment is very high on, I tell you. Because you are not simple one. 不简单, understand? You laugh. You don't know who you are until, like all those people, suddenly it happened. This is how cultivator of the way will understand all this. That's the reason why they will do a lot of this wholesome thing. We were there at their temple, and it was so beautiful. We were so fortunate. They even invite us all to go up to the very top level of the pagoda. Remember? The very tall medicine Buddha one, which was about 7 or 9 story high. And that special Buddha Rupang, which was housed inside, I think is Yao Si Fo, medicine Buddha. And we had the chance to go to the uppermost floor to see it. And they even took us to all the room to see all the other beautiful Buddha Rupang and relics. The energy there was so soothing and so good. When you are there, your faith will be enhanced. And this is what he meant by having the condition to plant the seed of Bodhi with faith to walk the Bodhisattva way. So because of that trip and the Fakusan, the Taiwan, we visited these 4 great way places. Ciji, Fo Kuang, Fakusan, Zhongtai Chanshi. Understand or not? That's why it was very unique, that trip, very special. Then the next part is also very interesting. When you are there, your faith will be enhanced. And this is what he meant by having the condition to plant the seed of Bodhi with faith to walk the Bodhisattva way. Now you listen. To have Bodhi mind is to arouse the... you know what is altruistic, isn't it? Mind of enlightenment means no selfishness on. Do you know what the meaning of altruistic is? Altruistic means doing something without expecting anything in return. They came for the living being, not for themselves. And if you can do that, it means you are very beautiful in your understanding. You just want to help without any expectation in return, which means you do it for others, service above self. So an altruistic mind of enlightenment is really beautiful. Because you just want to help living beings develop the understanding and the wisdom leading to their awakening and do things for the good of the many. Devote your service for the welfare of the many. Then he said, without the Bodhi mind, one can at best liberate what? Or practice? You satisfied there? This is very true. That's the reason why if you don't plant the seed of Bohi and walk this way, at best you can only liberate yourself or practice worldly samadhi. And this is written by him, no, Sun Yan Fa Su, in his book. No. The samadhi in which one still has attachment. Do you know the meaning? This is what he meant by thought-based meditation, because the self is very strong. The Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion, the self-striving, meditating, doing all these things. So he said, if you do this without the Bohi mind, meaning the enlightenment thought, which is your true mind, if you don't meditate with your true mind, if you use your mundane mind or thought to meditate, then what happens? You will get worldly samadhi, and that's all. One can at best liberate oneself, meaning you think there's a person to liberate and to practice worldly samadhi. So when you base it on the thought-based Dhamma knowledge, do you know what type of samadhi you will have? You may think you have got the Dhamma, and you may also think you have samadhi, but the fact is you still have attachment. That's the reason why he said you practice worldly samadhi. The samadhi in which one still has attachment. Therefore, the Bohi mind is the foundation and primary focus of all Mahayana practitioner who walk the Bodhisattva way. Renunciation means what? Not become monk alone, no. Renunciation means what? The meaning is very wide, you know. What is it? Disvowing? You have to sever all attachment, no. Means you renounce everything. No? Fame, self-benefit, and worldly attachment or clinging. Yeah. As our interest in worldly phenomena diminish, our self-centeredness also. Correct or not? Huh? When you are with the wisdom, you are not interested in worldly phenomena, then what happened? Your self-centeredness is what? Your egoic self is there. Your Sakaya Ditti is there. Also, become less and less. You cultivate without the mark of a? That's how it happened. Because you come for? And you also know living being is not real. That's the reason why all these attachments, they will go. Then what is renunciation? Renunciation is to renounce all those things that are not real, so that you don't deludedly attach, cling, and hold on to them. And he didn't explain this part because to him, he assumed others should understand that textbook from Sun Yan Fa Su. But I knew, I added it in. But the deeper meaning is the final summary of the first Noble Truth of Suffering that the Buddha expounded or proclaimed. What is the final summary? What did the Buddha say? In short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to cling, grasp, and hold onto the five aggregate of form and mind, the upadana kandas, the five grasping aggregate, that is the cause of suffering. That's the result. That's the reason why craving is the cause of suffering. Because when you grasp, cling, and hold, you will crave. You want things your way. You believe all these are real. Your fame, your reputation, your form and mind, your physical body, your attachment. You cling to your possession, your wealth, your loved one. All this you hold, including the phenomenal world, your property, your wealth, your business, everything else. Do you think you can own anything? Your prized possession or antique, etc. Even your own beautiful wife, car, spouse, and all those things. When you understand attachment is the cause of suffering, then you will understand why you must cultivate the opposite of attachment, which is you have to renounce everything. Means don't be foolish. You renounce the world, the phenomenal world. You renounce all that which is unreal. Condition arising and dependent originating. Now you understand. Yeah? So that's the reason why when you took that vow to sever all vexation and all suffering, which is the second basic vow, we are cultivating renunciation. Understand? You vow to sever all vexation and suffering. How can you sever when you attach? You understand? Because the cause of suffering is? Then how to sever? You think use the normal kitchen knife? Cut? You must have wisdom, isn't it? You need wisdom salt. Understand? then you can severe. Means you must have renunciation. When you renounce everything, means you cannot, you cannot attach, you cannot hold, you cannot cling. Then any problem. Because the cause of suffering is not there. That's how the vow can lead you to beautiful understanding and cultivation. Then when you cultivate, until you can endure and severe all suffering, it means you have no more suffering, no more attachment, no more clinging, no more grasping, etc. That's how renunciation can be perfected. And renunciation is also one of the 10 perfections to be a Sambuddha. But Theravada tradition only teaches one particular type of renunciation. What is it? Going forth to become a monk, is it? You renounce the world by shaving your head and taking the monk's precept. And that is only one part of kaya vivika, or self, or physical renunciation. Physical renunciation means you renounce all your possession, loved one, all physical thing, but your mind, your thought, your idea, your view, your opinion, etc., you are still? That's why they must know, that's why they must cultivate. They are still under training. So that's why, when you become monk, you're still under training. You still hold on to all this, but you don't know. That's why the Bodhisattva is very different. You are still holding on to them because you're clinging and you're grasping. Because of your clinging and your grasping, they are so strong. That's why the true renunciation is when there is no more delusion, no more suffering. The reason why you vow to endure and severe all vexation and suffering is to develop this type of wisdom. It's not non-attachment. It's wisdom that lead to? Where got people practice non-attachment? Letting go. Cut at feeling. You develop wisdom that lead to renunciation. Ability to renounce all these where you see they are not real. Or everything that is unreal. That's why anatta. Sunyata, empty nature. That's the real renunciation. And you have to perfect that. That's how all this vow can lead to all this perfection. The second basic vow to endure and severe all vexation or suffering is not to ask you to just endure suffering. No! Endure with wisdom and then severe them all so that in the future they have no power over you. That's the reason why you cannot hold, cannot cling, cannot grasp. Hence, no need to let go. Who let go? Only those who cling and grasp need to let go. And why they cling, why they grasp? Because of avijja. So without this vow, you cannot develop this wisdom and perfection. Now you understand? That's why you cultivate without understanding. You go and believe people, practice non-attachment, practice letting go, detach. And other things. Detached not so bad. I saw the English meaning dictionary. I think Sui An sent to me, Pan Chi sent to me. You know that definition by the dictionary is what? Detached doesn't mean the one, no. He said let the thing go through you, no. Then you understand, you experience and understand. Then you detach. That is the meaning of detachment, is it? So if that is the meaning, not so bad, Okay? That is the real renunciation, and you have to perfect that. That's how all these vows can lead to all the perfection. Oh, sorry, we finish, okay. Only those who grasp are finished. Then you vow to liberate and take across all living beings. This is the first vow. How are you going to do that? Without love and compassion. Can you do it? That's why you must have love and compassion for living beings. Because you come for the living being. Love and compassion. And this is the mind that you need to enable you to come for rebirth. You remember I said? You no longer have delusion because as a bodhisattva who has cultivated long enough, most of them are already enlightened. Since they have the ability and their mind has already realized bohi, so technically they don't have to come through rebirth anymore because there is no more avijja or ignorance at the point of death or parinibbana. If you cannot take normal rebirth through ignorance or rebirth consciousness, then how do you come to this world? You understand the question? Yeah? Then you see the answer. They come true? This one got ignorant or not? This is pure thought, isn't it? The four Brahma Vihara, no evil root. But because your form and mind need a consciousness, need a mind. So with this vow, this mind can manifest. That's why they can have a form and mind. And they can come back. And if they choose to come back, they will be back. They pull out this pure mind through their vow, understand or not? The love and compassion. That's why this vow gives rise to condition for this love and compassion for it to take birth without ignorance. That's the reason why you have to take the Bodhisattva vow. This vow will trigger off the pure mind of love and compassion to take rebirth via a form and mind through their karmic nature, which is still there. That's how you come. Without this, they cannot come. The first vow is to cultivate love and compassion. This is pure virtue, pure mind state, without greed, hatred, and delusion. Hence, no delusion. Yet, it can still come because it needs a mind to come. Ultimately, via the cultivation, you will know that there is no mark of a self, no mark of a living being, etc. So is there any living being to say all this? You don't have the mundane mind interfering, there is nothing, isn't it? But the conditioned world's law of karma recognizes? That's why there is a different understanding. That's the reason why there is suffering within the conditioned world. There is this Noble Eightfold Path. There is old age, sickness and death, birth and enlightenment, etc. But as stated in the Heart Sutta, in true emptiness, all this does not exist. So now you know no contradiction. Where there is the unconditioned. The other one is the conditioned world. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva's wisdom is different. Their understanding is different. And their cultivation is also different. After you have love and compassion, you develop wisdom via the second basic vow to endure and severe all with section and affliction through renunciation. Then no more attachment or delusion to cling and to grasp. Then the third basic vow is what? To perfect and penetrate all Dhamma, means cultivation or perfection of Prajna Paramita. That's how from there you can develop the wisdom to perfect the 10 perfection, which is the last basic vow of the Bodhisattva, to realize Sama Sambuddhahood. Then each and every one of us who walk this way, our nature will be different. Then you can add in your other vows that are unique to you, just like what those Bodhisattva has done. Those vows are under miscellaneous vow. Later I will explain in more detail this miscellaneous vow to you. Then all this you go back and read. We will have to move a little bit faster. Otherwise tonight, 9:15 also cannot finish. What's the time now? Page 99. 91. 91. What line? Line 6. Page 91. Which paragraph? First paragraph, line 6. No A. Got A or not? This avowing is correct. Because when you disavowing, it's not don't take the vow, no. Understand or not? Because this one is from I think I checked dictionary also one. I remember. I scared to use the wrong word. I think it's correct, Miss, you don't want to hold on to attachment, understand or not? Means you do away with fame, self benefit, worldly attachment and all those things. Okay. Then the rest you go and read, I think this part is also important. If through page 93, if through renunciation our reception are lightened and severe, the boat can sail smoothly. Now you understand, Oh, before that also must read. Oh. Ayo. The analogy here is as given by Master Shen Yuan is quite good. Master Shen Yuan said, if a boat is filled with rock, and if more and more rock are piled onto it, the boat will? This is what attachment is. Everything also want to own. Understand not? Everything also load onto the? What boat is that? Boat of suffering. Understand not? You heard of this Buddhist hymn, is it? Oh, suffering world. You heard of this? You never heard of this? When shall we? We shall not come back again. You know how to sing or not? Try. I forgot. I know got such song. Oh, suffering world.
Oh, suffering world.
Yes.
You shall not come back again.
Very good. So you want to come back or not? Suffering world, come back for what? But when you have the bodhisattva knowledge, you want to come back or not? Sure lah. This life, my nature was so happy, 35 years old connected, until now, 64, coming to 65, means coming to 30 years already, leaving the third phase of Dhamma, Pati Veda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work and cultivation. You live the life of a noble one. Understand? No suffering. Everything so meaningful, so beautiful. You don't want to come back? You understand? But there is no craving because your vow will take you. Understand? Then next one is what? Similarly, when our self-important and self-centeredness attachment are extremely heavy, the burden of our suffering and vexation can sink the prajna boat this time. Understand? You want to be enlightened, you go on the prajna boat, then you go and load it with so much thing. And you will be unable to sail through the, not only through, cannot even go into the ocean, of what? Wisdom with ease. Because the ocean of wisdom cannot carry all this rubbish, understand? Why is it called the ocean of wisdom? Because life itself is your greatest teacher. If you don't have affliction, because you have clarity of mind, you have virtue, love, compassion, wisdom, and renunciation, then you can sail freely into the ocean of wisdom, which is samsara, or life itself. So now you understand. If true renunciation or vexation are lightened and severed, because you don't cling, the boat can sail smoothly. It will become prajna, boat of wisdom, carrying us to the other shore. So all this is what cultivation is all about, to have compassion, meaning sacrifice oneself for the benefit of others, while simultaneously lessening our own self-attachment and delusion. Some serious practitioners tend to have more and more of the mind of renunciation and less compassion. This is also one-sided according to Shen Yan, according to Master Shen Yan. They like to practice alone and prefer not to have responsibility. This kind of escapism, that's the reason why a lot of cultivators enter the forest and end up becoming hermit. If they cultivate in the forest, then later come out into life to perfect and test themselves, then it's very beautiful. So the rest you read. Okay. Then after that, I think we have to cover a bit more. I think the rest you read. Okay. You go to page 95, last paragraph. Therefore, the spirit of Bohi mind is renunciation and compassion. Okay? The body of Bohi mind is fulfilling the four great vows. In fact, the four great vows embody what? Renunciation and compassion. And renunciation is actually wisdom. When you can renounce everything, you got no attachment. There is wisdom. For example, the vow to deliver living beings is love and compassion. But we can only accomplish this by renouncing sakayaditi, self-centeredness, and self-delusion before we can renounce our own vexation, endure and severe them all. But it is only with love and compassion that we can truly help liberate living beings and relieve them from their own suffering. Thus, the four great vows are actually expedient way to accomplish these great qualities of Bodhi mind, which is love, compassion, and wisdom and renunciation. Actually, the vow help you to cultivate this perfection. You understand? Then the third one help you to cultivate perfection or wisdom. Some will wonder how they can fulfill even the first of the four basic vows. They will say, it's hard enough just to practice for our own salvation and enlightenment. This is the thought telling you or saying. However, one should see the vow as statement of intention, not promise or achieve something by a certain day or time. The vows are not necessarily meant to be accomplished in one lifetime. Rather, the vow gives us a long-term direction and sense of dedication. Step by step, we gradually fulfill the vow. What you need, this is not mentioned in this book, I add it in. It's your faith, sincerity, and you have these three, you will finish, no matter how long it takes. Understand? That unless we generate the four basic vows, we cannot consider ourselves true Mahayana practitioner or cultivator of the way who walk the path of Dhamma to become Sammasambuddha. The Zen practice is basically Dhamma cultivation, when we cultivate in the spirit of the Bodhi mind to fulfill the four great vows via Zen meditation. It is not different from normal Dhamma practice, where we also establish a goal and direction. We walk together this goal according to our own pace, and we walk on this path towards our destiny, guided by the path of renunciation and wisdom. We will have the wisdom to help others. We have talked about the Four Noble Truths, the three marks of existence, the Bodhi mind, the four great vows, and we have learned how to sit in silent illumination. The purpose of all this is to terminate affliction, meaning suffering, self-importance, sakayadity, grasping and clinging. We do all this so that we will be in a better position to help others. We use the above essential Dhamma, cultivation and wisdom to cut off the section and ourselves in ourselves and others, and help others to do the same. In so doing, we realize renunciation and compassion, which is none other than the Bodhi mind. So Bodhi mind is like full of love and compassion to cultivate renunciation so that you develop your ability to fulfill the first three vows, which is none other than the Bodhi mind. That's the reason why when you are no longer deluded, you don't cling, you don't attach, where you have wisdom. And that's also the reason why you can renounce all the illusion. In the Avasamka Sutta, or Flower Ornament Sutta, Huayanjing, page 96. When the Bodhi Chitta or Bodhi mind is generated, one ultimately attains Buddhahood. See? It tells you so clearly. So today you start, you sure already won. Understand? When? Don't know. But you sure. Because the Sutta says so. Huayanjing. Once you generate the Bodhi Chitta or Bodhi mind, one ultimately, he said, finally attain Buddhahood. That's why you need to plant that seed, so that you can arise the condition for you to be reminded of this cultivation, vow, and understanding life after. This is the teaching of awakened mind, entering the path of Buddhahood, arousing what? Kye Hoon, very loud already, good. Maybe much, or it may be little, but it is an. You may not fulfill this path completely, but you have at least gained what? And you are certain to attain? But in the future. In that sense, one attains Buddhahood when Bodhicitta is generated. The moment you generate, you are destined. Someone who gave rise to Bodhicitta and also vow to benefit all living beings is a? Do you want to take the vow? That's why we go. Then the next one is very important. Then we come to the stages of Bodhi mind development. This is the one I want to share with you all tonight. Arousing Bodhi mind establishes one on the path to Buddhahood, but it's still an embryonic Buddhahood because there is just a first stage, aspire only. According to the Mahapajnaparamita Sutta, the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutta, complete Buddhahood is realized after you have fulfilled all the Bodhi mind development. So now 20% done, no? After the vow la, just aspire only wa. So at least you have done 20% now, but weightage different, Correct or not? Every stage the weightage different, no? Because make aspiration is so easy, understand? What is the first stage of Bodhi mind development? It is the Bodhi mind that first, very easy, to become Buddha. We are making that resolve or aspiration sincerely with faith, and you are willing to persevere to realize it. So the first stage of Bodhi mind development cultivation is very simple. And everyone who has the condition, sincerity and faith, you should determine to make this aspiration and affirmation to plan what? The first seed of Bodhi, not difficult to walk this way, for you have got nothing to lose. Then you can go on to the development of the... To develop wisdom through your cultivation of the four basic vow. Then when you have developed the wisdom, what will happen? The Bodhi mind that subdues affliction will arise, which means you are able to subdue all affliction, meaning no more. Then you come as Bodhisattva. Got problem or not? You can choose to come. No problem anymore, isn't it? Meaning you are already wise. Hence, you are no longer deluded by the phenomenal, the conditional. That is the second stage of Bodhi mind development. Interesting or not? When you fulfill the four basic vows, the first three, no need to complete the first three. The first two, you already can reach the second stage. So, the second stage of Bodhi mind development is to develop this ability to renounce the phenomenal and all those things. Means when you fulfill the first two basic vow, then the third stage is what? Third stage of Bodhi mind development is what? You illuminate Buddha nature as enlightenment. Means you not only awaken, but you manage to... what is that nature? Connect to your true mind, understand or not? That's why the normal sainthood way, they cannot. They cannot connect. Their mundane mind is still there. Even arahant, there is still outflow, thought. So this one, you really confirm that you are on the Bodhisattva way. Your true nature, until it becomes so clear, which means you connect to the gateway, understand or not? You are able to transform and illuminate the nature within. That's the reason why the third stage will make you a... means you won't fall, understand or not? The gateway cultivation via trance, you will do later on in the cultivation, unless you have your past cultivation and the condition to support you. And this third stage is very powerful. After this, you will never fall back. See? Through Bodhisattva. Then after that, you move on to cultivate via the Bodhi mind that renounces. That time samsara chicken feet in there. Why? No thought, no mark, no dwelling. Got problem or not? Then you have this type of understanding at the third stage. That's why when you are at the fourth stage, you are so beautiful. You can renounce samsara to attain Buddhahood. That is the fourth stage. And the fourth stage of Bodhi is so beautiful. Because the time aeon is nothing. No mark of time. No mark of self, no mark of other, no mark of Dhamma. Aeon got problem or not? Because that one come from the thought. The nature know all this not real and you won't die. Nothing die. And all this can be perfected because the system allow for this. The condition will allow for this. Cultivation when you have the understanding. So this is so beautiful. This means you already no, samsara is just form and mind, not me. And what? Do you follow? Read loud. No reality, yes. So if it's just for my mind, not me, and no reality, that's the reason why you will renounce samsara. No problem. Understand not? You won't be afraid of it anymore. You won't worry about it anymore, even when the thought tell you the way may take eons and eons of cultivation. So how to take it? How to walk this way? It's crazy. This is just the thought telling you. That's the reason why the deluded one dare not do all this, because they don't understand. So don't be gullible. Huh? But the fourth stage, at the fourth stage, this delusion is no more. That's the reason why it can renounce samsara. For samsara is just a phenomenal world consciousness. Consciousness arising, causal phenomena. You must know how to come. That's the reason why one of my teachers told me, if you know how to come, you will know how to return. True or not? Ah, you know how to die, isn't it? Die of what? Or defilement. If you don't know how to die before you die, you got big problem. You know, no? True or not? My teacher, Acharya Yantra, always said, you must know how to die before you die. You understand the meaning or not? Die of all your defilement, so no avijja. So that the real dying is not dying, parinibbana. You can return to the source. If you don't know how to come, then what happened? All these are due to your delusion, because you don't know how, who are you, and how you come. Who take you here so you don't know? Your good friend. The law of karma, which is your good friend, takes you here. You like that friend? You got no choice, understand? Because that karmic nature is with every living being. But it's your good friend when you took the Bodhisattva way, understand? But without that, you cannot come, understand? Your vehicle and tool and your love and compassion consciousness cannot arise. And every life you come, you also don't know what is going on because of your self-delusion. You only complain, have worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, etc. to pay back. Coming that, and then, you owe people so much. Kiam jaya, siu kiam jaya. You know what is siu kiam jaya or not? Owe coming that. Then every time, blame. Why am I like that? Why am I so lucky? Why is God so unfair? But in the past, when you do that to people earlier on, you don't question yourself the same way. But when karma hit back at you, where you reap what you sow, you complain. And you cannot understand why you are so miserable. Why is everything not right? You make others miserable and fearful because you don't have any right thought or sympathy towards them through your delusion. You heedlessly continue to do all this karmic negativity and evil. And life after life, when you come, you have to pay back all this karmic debt. So these five stages of Bohi mind development are very beautiful. The last stage is what? The last stage is the Bohi mind of the consummate, which means you reach the pinnacle of wisdom and compassion, or you have completed Buddhahood, meaning you have completed the cultivation of the 10 perfection. Master Shen Yan asks, where do we stand in the five stages of Bohi mind development or Bodhisattva cultivation? Where do you stand? At least you can proudly say stage one. Understand? So if you know, then you are very, very sure. Because all these stages are so beautiful. Okay, what's the time we should start taking the vow? Just in time, Oh, very good. Okay. Okay, take out the Bodhisattva vow. The what? Page 2, Page 1 no need to read. Page 1 is for your own consumption. Taking out the Bodhisattva vow, This one is very important. Oh, you haven't light candle, Okay. we have to chant the Buddha, all the Buddha, the original Buddha. Nah. Okay, light the candle, then we start, Okay, go toilet. Toilet break. 2 minutes. Enough or not? Ah, 5 minutes. Ah, okay lah, 5 minutes lah. Those who have the blue book, taking out the Bodhisattva vow is page 102. Page 102. No, the blue book, page 102. Yes. Suria for the doctor. Oh, sorry, that one given. You open the blue book, page 102. Sorry.
Thank you. 我没有了，
是吧？
先生，我先。
这是不是还没到？
Okay, let us gather. Don't waste your time. The committee member. Come. Light the candle. Okay. Ready? Be in the kneeling posture. Develop your faith. Very strong faith. Then you must have sincerity. Then you must do it with understanding. Now I will read to you the first part. As is traditional, you may seek out a Buddhist center or a temple or a shrine to take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Then if you want to do it at home, you can also do it. Or if you cannot do so, you can take it at home in front of the sacred shrine. So one must make strong aspiration. You must really sincerely with very strong aspiration. You know the importance of this this particular way. So when you know the importance, you determine, you develop very strong affirmation, means very strong affirmation or aspiration to take this Bodhisattva vow with determined faith and understanding sincerely in front of Buddha or great Maha Bodhisattva who had gone forth before us. Okay? So now I will lead you in the chanting. So today we are going to do it in front of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva. And we shall start by paying respect or homage to them via chanting their vowhao. So today we will chant Namo Virochana Buddha three times. Then after that, Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Then Namo Guansin Pusa. Then Namo Pusen Pusa, Vensu Pusa. Namo Amitofo, Milofo. Then after that, finally, Namo for Pusa. Okay? Yeah. Now we do it. Determine if your faith and strong aspiration. Then we shall commence the taking of the Bodhisattva vow by reciting or paying our respect or reverential salutation to all these great beings. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Then we recite the triple gem, salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, I will lead you all. I bring this Bodhisattva vow book and the copy over first. Okay, now let us start. Making a special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Okay, with faith, strong determination, sincerity, understanding, we shall recite. Then before that, I will read to you all these great Buddhas and Bodhisattva. What are their qualities and how they can help you? These are the great Buddhas and Bodhisattva that we have cultivated a lot of affinity with because we need their support to walk this path successfully. Like I always said, we need to seek their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance. And through this sincere affinity, we will know how to develop the request for their sincere protection, guidance, and blessing. This protection is for our form and mind only. And this understanding is very important because when we come to this existential world, we have a physical body and a mind and the consciousness trapped inside. So combining them together, this is the five aggregate of form and mind. This form and mind, the so-called human being, the segmented life, living being or human being in this life is a human being. This form and mind or the human being or living being is very fragile. It can easily be destroyed. And when this vehicle is gone, you cannot cultivate, you cannot perfect, and you cannot do what you want to do anymore. So that's the reason why you need to seek their protection from all these great beings' nature. They are all clearly stated inside the Bodhisattva vows note. Later on, we will go through them. So now we can do it. Making a special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. You all recite after me. By the power of whatever blessing and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the following right understanding. Life after life. Whenever it choose to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. Okay, the first right view is right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. The law of dependent origination or the dwelling. Chitta niyama. And the four noble truth. Dhamma niyama. Then next understanding is to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly. We are the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity. Causal phenomena. Hence impermanent. Leading to suffering. Not me, non-self, and empty. That is this so-called living beings. Five aggregate of form and mind. It's just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool. For us to come to this existential world. To develop the cultivation. And experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, right action to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. And to constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana anatta. Sanya anicang, sanya anatta, sankara anicang, sankara anatta, Vijnanang anicang, Vijnanang anatta. Then we chant together. Sabbe sankhara anicang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, and sabbe dhamma anatta. Okay, this is the first part. Then next page, page 2. The third right view. Okay, you recite after me. Having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow to always keep the three sets of pure precepts. We are following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha. The first set of pure precepts, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the second set of pure precept, to cultivate all virtues and blessings, leading to the perfection of them all. The third set of pure precept. The third set of pure precept. To cultivate wisdom. To help liberate. And take across all sentient beings. Okay. Then the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow, which is the four basic vow. So now you do it with faith. Just as all previous Sugata or Buddhas, I read to you this part. This one you don't recite. You can actually listen and understand it. Just as all previous Sugata, the Buddha, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplishes all the stages of Bodhisattvahood training, so too were this nature of mind. You read after me this one. So too were this nature of mind for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Okay? Now then you vow. This is the four basic vow. This one you have to do it with faith, strong understanding and affirmation and what they call sincerity. This nature of my further vow, with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance, to walk to perfection, this Bodhisattva way, we are taking the four initial vow or basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Okay. Then now we recite the vow together. This nature of my vows to liberate. Wait. Do again. Together. This nature of my vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of my vows to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. This nature of my vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of my vow to perfect the 10 perfection or the paramitas, to realize the unsurpassed sama sambuddhahood. Okay. Then the additional vow to break all karmic obstruction. This one is very important. This one you have to develop the clear understanding, because this is required for you to walk your path smoothly without obstruction. This is what we call asking for forgiveness, repentance, and all those things. Together we recite. Additional vow to break karmic obstruction to bring about the way. Wait, recite it again together, please. Okay. Additional vow to break about the way. Okay. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, via ignorance, delusion, and heedlessness, this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, this nature of my vow, would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Okay. Then after that, to all the other beings. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, This nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this coming obstruction can be amicably dissolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mine to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then the fourth one is, this nature of mine, together, this nature of mine also vow to repent, and from now onwards, vow never to repeat any of this coming negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind via striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts, and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merit that this nature of mine has cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life after life, to walk the way, path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vow. Then additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. So this one you can make affirmation together. This nature of my vow, to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible, to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattva, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. To strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become ballast or power, life after life, so that all the above vow can be successfully fulfilled with ease. To cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Then this is for your information. The 10 perfections leading to Buddhahood are dana, which is generosity. This one you just listen. Morality or sila. Then renunciation, which is nikama. Then wisdom, which is panya. Spiritual zeal, which is virya. Patience, which is kanti. Truthfulness, which is satya. Affirmation or determination or resolution, which is adhittana. Then loving kindness, metta. And finally, equanimity born of wisdom, upekkha. Yeah? So this will conclude the taking of our vow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Then I will read on to let you understand a few more things. Yeah, you can pay respect to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattva and great beings. Then after that, I will read on for your further understanding. You realize the three set of pure precepts or not? They are quite similar to the advice of all the Buddha. Except as a Bodhisattva, you do it more extensively. Understand or not? So you look at the first set of pure precepts. We not only avoid all evil. You understand? What must you develop further? No. That one is the second one. I talk about the first set of pure precepts. to avoid all evil, and you have to go further, understand or not? If you don't know what constitutes evil, how can you cultivate? Understand? So, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil and what constitutes evil. The three? Of greed, hatred, and delusion. And expand on it, go back and write it down so that you understand. That's why you go more extensive. You not only follow all these people, all evil to be avoided, then don't want to know what constitutes evil. Then when people ask you what constitutes evil, like parrot, greed, hatred, delusion. What are they? Don't know. Like that, how to cultivate? You have to go into it. What is greed? Loba. Means what? It's not only greediness. Do you understand? What else constitutes that evil root of greed? Selfishness is very powerful. Where you are self-centered, selfish. No, that one is second evil root. The first one, all of your greed, selfishness, lust, covetousness, desire, understand or not? Your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, all these are greed, understand or not? Possessiveness. Unknowingly, you are possessive, you understand or not? When you cannot tolerate your spouse going out, understand or not? And you don't allow them to do the thing they want to do, where is their life? Why you want to control? In future, karma, you kena the same condition, you become the victim. People, your other spouse, future spouse, control you back. So all this are greed, must understand. Even that thought of trying to deceive and cheat is a greed, understand? The evil root, clear that. Then the second evil root, hatred is what? Not only you got the anger, your hatred, the ill is part of it. Then? That one, despise. You don't like somebody. Jealousy, yes. Then? Envy, understand not? When you despise somebody or dislike somebody, then all your dislike, your negative emotion that you want to push away, your emotional negativity, understand? They are all the evil root of hatred. When you really have this hatred, anger, you become violent, understand? You speak harshly. All this follow. Then delusion is what? Delusion of the self, understand? The egoic mind that condition you to cling, grasp, to have the evil root of greed and hatred. So when you have delusion, you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, because you don't understand the truth. You are deluded. That's why all this suffering comes to you. Sorrow, lamentation, grief, unhappiness, deep resentment, all this, they are part of delusion. Remorse, yes, that one also very good. What is it? Denial of the reality means deluded. Don't have the right view. So you don't believe in law of karma. All those things are all caused by delusion when you lack right view. So this is how you go deeper. You cultivate more extensively. Then the second vow is what? The second set of pure precepts. The normal one is what? Avoid all evil? Do good. Where got enough? What must you do? You must cultivate all virtue. No, you want to perfect yourself. No, you not only want to free your own mind and liberate yourself or the form of mind. You have to cultivate all virtue to perfect them. That's why the 10 perfection need to be perfected. That's why you have this second set of pure precept to guide you. You undertake the training rule to cultivate all virtue. Repeat together. You undertake the training rule to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all. So remember, this is your new. That's why it's called a pure set of precepts. It's not just precept. Understand? Pure set of precepts. Then the third one? No. Before that is to undertake the training rule. To cultivate all wisdom, to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. The last one for normal people, the advice is what? Purify your mind. Means develop enough wisdom to liberate. If you have just that, you are very limited. You cannot fulfill the vow because you need to cultivate extensively. Then with that ability, when you cultivate all wisdom, means it follows the third basic vow, understand now? To penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of wisdom. That's the different. That's why you're very, very extensive in your cultivation. So as a bodhisattva, you come and come and come until you perfect all this wisdom. Because after helping so many living beings, you will understand all the various wisdom way to do your work. And this is how you can actually fulfill your vow. That's why these three sets of pure precepts are very beautiful. When you cultivate all wisdom, it can help you to liberate and take across all sentient beings. So these three sets of pure precepts complement your four basic vow. Then your additional vow is to strengthen it. Then the other thing is you want to read them, you can read them on page 127. 127, I have explained. So the modified part is the second part, which is to liberate all living beings. Because the Buddha's advice is just to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. You have to cultivate wisdom first. But you do it because of the vow to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. That will drive you to walk the Bodhisattva way. We are taking those vows. Then, for the actual taking of the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva, I have phrased it for you in a very nicely arranged way. This one, maybe afterwards, if I have time, I will go through. So now we can go through. The first part, which is just to plant the seed of Bohi, we are reciting. So we are done. This nature of my vow, with utmost sincerity, etc. So all these are your vow. To plant the seed of Bohi through your aspiration. That's why you have to be very sincere and have very strong faith and persevere. To walk to perfect the Bodhisattva way, we are taking the four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Then these four basic vow, I have modified them for you. I use this nature of mind and didn't use I or me. Do you know why? Do you know why? Not only this segmented life for my mind. I say, I vow, means this segment only. Then, life after life, how to continue? When you use this nature of mind, means what? This nature will continue to evolve, understand now? Means every segmented life it comes, the form and mind, chemically conditioned now, is connected to your nature. Understand? That's why this one carry through to all the form and mind that come later on. You understand? That's why I modify with the word, I use this nature of mind. So that is the major difference. Then the summation of them all, developing into this nature of mind. That's how you can have your karmic nature and your spiritual nature. Otherwise, that nature cannot be powerful. Understand? When you have this vow, it really takes you along. And the affinity you develop with all the great beings, they really like automatically take you along. You only need three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Wow, so fast. Finish already. Never mind, I will do a little bit more. So this initial four basic vow, what you have to do is, you need to familiarize with them. That's why this set is for you. Understand? You don't have, you go and print it out or photostat it. Then keep it. Then every day, go through it. Understand it. Then if you can, recite it. At least once a day for the first 3 months. Until it become more and more clear and more stable. Then after that, you can do it once a week. You understand? Yeah? Then after a month or two, if you feel that you are already quite familiar and quite stable, then you try to do it once every month. Understand? Then after that, what you have to do is, you have to do it without the paper. Means you really have it. And then you can do every 6 months or once a year. Because this thing is there already. You already know what to do, understand? Or it has become part of your nature. So this is what you need to do from now onward. Otherwise, it will not stabilize. And you have to actually build up this base. And this base is very important. That's why my daughter, after last year, I saw her, whenever she come back, she do it in front of my altar. She even teach her friend to do. That's why I rejoice, my nature rejoice. And she sees the importance of all this. So this part is very useful. So I repeat, the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva are this nature of mind. You listen attentively. Vow to, first, liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This one easy, isn't it? Easy or not? Because out of love and compassion, you need to do this because you want to really cultivate love and compassion and come for the living being. So that this love and compassion can have the condition for you to come back, understand now, even after you have become enlightened. And why in the vow I put whether you choose to come or have to come? You know why or not? Many of you still have to come, understand? That's why I add that one in. Otherwise you say, I choose to come. You're not yet ready how to choose to come. Understand? So you choose or have to come. So that vow coverable. But you don't worry, understand? But finally, with this vow, you will get to do all those things and you will sure become a bodhisattva and choose to come. Then you don't have to worry about have to come. Then every time you come with this understanding, you know, better than what you are now this life, no? You want that, huh? Otherwise, without sasana, what is the Dhamma also don't know? No vow. Hurt the beautiful affordable truth also cannot, not to say awakened, no? Cannot be impressed by it, no? Or cannot be even turned by it, no? What is all this, Because you don't have the vow. When you have the vow different, like Hui Ning, the moment he hear, he awaken. That is what the power of vow is. Then when you create and develop strong affinity with all these great beings, you seek their protection, blessing, and guidance, their nature will look after your form and mind. You understand? Then if every year you cultivate this understanding, share merit, transfer merit with Dhamma protector, they will protect you too. Then when there is a sasana, you sure connect because you have this vow and you have this refuge. You sure connect. That's why a lot of you have this condition to be born during this sasana is because you have this merit established in the sasana, the previous sasana. But because you didn't make this vow. So you know what happened? After sasana over, without sasana, what happened? Heedless again. For how long? Millions or eons. The Heart Sutta book opening verse are 500 million eons. This teaching is very rare, you see. Even as long as 500 million eons, you may not come across one. Because the sasana is really very rare, the window. That's why the Buddha said the arising of a Sammasambuddha is really rare, really, really rare. So all this, when you are heedless, even though you are great being before, because you don't do it, this type of vow. Understand now? So if you don't have this type of vow, you cannot be like this great being who have the understand, who reach at least stage 3 of Bodhi mind development. You remember? Stage 3? Connect to that gateway, that nature. If you cannot reach that, you are not a true Bodhisattva yet. You are not sure yet. But at least the first step, understand now, has been established, that sincere vow, aspiration. Then after that, your cultivation will be very different. Then you progress very fast to second stage. But second stage to third stage is not easy. Understand? To connect to that true nature and to develop all this understanding of the hallmark of Huineng's teaching, following Diamond Sutta, is not easy. Yeah. No thought, quite easy. But no mark, no dwelling, not easy. Understand? But don't worry, because the vow will take you through. Your kayamita will come along. Understand? Provided everybody very diligent, understand? Because you have your past, you have your nature, you don't know. So when you do this affirmation, the only difference is from now onward until the next sasana, you will never fall like before. You will never get lost. So if you life after life, even without sasana, you cultivate with this type of understanding, I ask you one very simple question. What will your nature be when the next sasana arrives? Huh? You will be beautiful, isn't it? Maybe better than mine, isn't it? You understand? That is possible. That's why you must have this vow, affirmation, and really do it. And it really bring about great transformation. Then your wisdom, your understanding, your virtue, your perfection, all different. Then everyone, when you come with your own understanding, you can have your unique quality to put in additional vow, very special, very unique. That's how you look at all the vow, Kuan Yin, Amitabha, Maitreya, and even Medicine Buddha, Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Pusien Wensu, all different. They are all different because they have their uniqueness. Their understanding, then they vow differently. But the four basic vow is the same. All the same. Like Four Noble Truths. All tradition has this teaching. You understand? Because this is required to come, understand? To perfect yourself, to do the work. That's why this four basic vow is like the Four Noble Truths. You must understand. You must cultivate it. Understand it. Then realize it. Then after that, you become beautiful. Then all the other essential dhamma spin off from there. So all your other cultivation for the 10 perfection to be the ultimate stage 5, reaching the consummation of Buddhahood, where all the 10 perfection are cultivated, you need the cultivation of the 4 basic vow to reach that perfection. So in the text you read again, when you fulfill the 4 basic vow, all the 10 perfections fall into place by itself. That's why it's not difficult when you understand. Okay? Yeah. You can rejoice. That's why did I finish the 4 basic vow? Just now I read to you all that. Did I read to you the last one? Huh? The third and fourth, did I read? Oh no, I didn't read. Okay, I read to you the third one. This nature of my vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas to realize the perfection of all wisdom. So this one is to develop the all-knowing wisdom, all wisdom. And this one will reach the perfection of the paramita of the perfection of wisdom, understand? That's why it's prajna. But it's a paramita, means you reach perfection. So by the time you finish your third vow, you already have the perfection of prajna paramita. Then you can able to sever everything, means you perfect your renunciation already, understand? Then when you are able to carry out the first vow, you already have all the necessity of love and compassion, the perfection of it. To come for the living being. Then the last one is, this nature of my vow to perfect the balance of the paramita. to fulfill completely all the 10 paramita to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. You realize the rest are actually related to all your cultivation. Like truth, satya, the perfection. It's automatic in it because you cannot lie in it. Correct or not? No more negativity in it. So you will fulfill. Yeah. Then kanti, patient, you will fulfill. Patient endurance with wisdom. Yeah. Then all the other related, yeah, related to your 10 bodhisattva vow, they are all related. That's why it can be fulfilled. So this part, which satya we have covered. Equanimity, you will also perfect it, because when your wisdom is perfected, equanimity will be perfected. The other one is adittana. Yeah, I want to talk about this. Yeah, you know how to make full use of this, you become very beautiful. Because this one, by the power of merits, it can help you to use nature's law. That's why you aspire to your merits by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that you have cultivated from the distant past until now. As you perfect, you have more and more powerful nature, virtue, wisdom. And you invoke power of your virtue and wisdom for causes and conditions to fulfill your cultivation. Like the Buddha one is a very general one. So that you can avoid all evil, avoid all the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened, understand not? Until? That one is for normal cultivator. Yours is until Buddhahood is realized. So you make that type of strong aspiration, then you will progress, you become very different. That spiritual zeal will be there. Well, when you see the importance, you go all out to do all this. That's why the 10 perfection can be fulfilled. Then the additional vow is to strengthen your 4 basic vow to create more condition for you. And what I have put in are the typical basic one that my own cultivation do. So this one, it will help you, because to break karmic obstruction is not easy. You don't know this, you will have a lot of obstruction when you cultivate. Then to ask for repentance. This one is also very important. Ask for forgiveness. Then invoke power of merits for whatever causes and conditions for you to have the ability to overcome all karmic obstruction amicably, so that this nature of yours will be able to gain back your life. Life after life, to walk this path of Dhamma to fulfill and realize all your bodhisattva vow. So these are very important, supportive, additional vow. Then the additional miscellaneous vow is also very useful. Then later on, when you got unique quality, you can put them in. I think basically this is it. Then there is a question. Somebody asked some question. I myself answer it. It's related. He said, can adittana override karmic force? What do you think? Cannot, definitely. Karma is karma. Like I say, you must make adittan, or what they call aspiration, or vow, based on what? Allowable, understand? Whatever that is allowable, like your merits, it's like money in this world. Whatever money can allow you to have, then you can use it. But you make that ridiculous vow that is not possible, by the power of all this merit from the this world, may all my karmic obstruction and karmic negativity and karma all gone. We got such thing, understand? Cannot. Your karma is got condition, it arises. But you aspire for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, may out the wise, so that you can realize the enlightenment. Then what happened? Automatically, the karma when come to friction, it will not have power over you. Understand? You look at Angulimala. The Buddha say what? Endure, patient, he say. Understand? Then he's an arahant, no more suffering. But this is the karmic. That's why he say this will help you to, because otherwise you have to go down to hell and suffer for so long. You know? So this one, relatively nothing, understand not? Chicken feet. That's why you will have all this understanding. Then you become beautiful. So don't try to like override this, override that. The only thing that you can override is when you have a nature more powerful than the thing that you want to override. Is your nature more powerful than the law of karma? Buddha also cannot do anything, no? Understand? No? He just asks you to repent, no? Ask for forgiveness, no? Then cultivate. But with wisdom, you can avoid. You know why? Karma is such when God condition it arises, that if it cannot torment you and cause you to suffer anymore, it reverses itself. That's why wisdom can help you escape or free or endure with understanding. Then your patience is automatic because you perfected it. Understand? Kanti. Patient endurance. So all this, you must have understanding. Then the second part is related. Because he got this doubt that comes from the thought. I read to you. As everything are uncertain. No? But I can tell you not everything. Death is definitely certain. Understand? No? Why you say everything is uncertain? Death is certain. Understand? The noble truth are certain. The reality of life and existence are certain. Law of karma operates certain. Understand? So not everything is uncertain. Uncertain to you because you don't understand. Yeah. Then the question is, how can one will? What willpower? How can one willpower be so certain? Or means when you make your aspiration or what? Is it the meaning? He said, how can one will power be so certain until it could sustain for aeons and aeons? Means what? He thought your vow cannot last so long, understand or not? You understand the question or not? He said everything is uncertain. How can you sure your vow can last so long? That is the question, isn't it, if I'm not wrong. Correct or not? Don't mind, who asked this? I need to know your question. Yes. Timmy. Is it, what is your meaning? Is it that? What you mean? Aditana, yes, I know. So the first part I answer, Aditana cannot be as powerful as to override law of karma. Law of karma is nature's law. You cannot override. Understand?
Because I lack of this determination, Aditana, it's like a virtue. I don't know how it works.
That perfection is very powerful, but it has to be allowable. Understand? Allowable means what? The Aditana is an affirmation, power of truth, power of merits, power of wholesomeness. You must arise the causes and conditions. Means we let nature's law flow. Understand? Then causes and conditions to arise certain condition for your life and cultivation to improve. Understand? Like you make this Aditana can. By the power of merits and whatever wholesomeness that I have cultivated from this, but may I recover from my depression. You understand? My health problem. You can even help your loved one on their behalf. You ask for forgiveness. Then you invoke power of merit. You make offering on their behalf, in their name. Even your departed parent or loved one, you can. Then you invoke power by the power of these merits. May they have a better life hereafter. All these are possible. May arise the causes and conditions for them to be. But you cannot say, override my karma, cancel all my karma so that I got no negative karma. I only got good karma. Oh, like that. No need to cultivate, isn't it? Understand? No? Make a ditan, then everything happen. No, where this is important, where the law of karma is so powerful. It's one of the major nature's order. So this one is, even Samasambuddha cannot do anything to karma, understand? He also have to endure when he came as a form of mind. You knew what happened to him, isn't it? The disgrace, Chincha incident, then that meal that he take, and he become like that. Then, the worst is Devadatta. What did he do? He tried to kill the Buddha. Then he hurt the Buddha. Where did he hurt the Buddha? Then luckily got that physician help him to heal. That's why as Samasambuddha also cannot cancel or override karma. Our nature compared to Samasambuddha. You know what is this or not? Ours is chicken feet, understand? And you want to cancel. Buddha like that one also cannot cancel or override. So you have to understand allowable. Then your second question, does it mean as everything are uncertain? That one I correct already. Because not everything is uncertain. A lot of things are very certain. Not only that, law of karma, certain one. Understand or not? All the nature's law, their mind function this way, certain. Four noble truth, certain. Understand or not? What is it? Income tax certain. I don't think so. A lot of people don't pay income tax. Understand or not? So that one doesn't hold true. Understand or not? Sometimes you got nothing for them to tax. Understand or not? Then for many years, last time you got this tax rebate. You know Section 108? I think the account, the tax people will know. Every year, I claim back for my daughter and my wife one last time, but now no more, they abolish it. Because their salary is so much less than their dividend that they receive, and the tax portion, if your tax bracket is lower than the tax that the government takes, last time the tax is about 30% or no, up to 34%. No? Then it go down to 20-something. Then my wife, that time my daughter was in Singapore, here, no salary. So with the dividend, still zero tax or a little bit of tax. So the difference they pay back. So sometimes they receive a few thousand. That's why you don't have to pay tax. You receive tax refund, rebate. So this is something that you must know. Not necessarily what you hear from the WhatsApp or internet is the truth. Like you say, tax is certain. I know a lot of people write inside there, tax is certain. No, not necessary. That's why you have to use your own investigation and find out really true or not. So as everything are uncertain, that one I corrected, how can one willpower be so certain? What do you mean by that, Tammy?
Actually, it's just one question. Because just now when Sister Sandra was saying that she determined not to get angry, wow, how can someone have this adhitana to do such a thing?
Like, when you make the adhitana not to break the precept, possible or not? Possible or not? Because this is wholesome. Law of karma never stop you from breaking precept. Understand or not? But if you adhitana not to break, then that vow can stop your nature from breaking. But you are not overriding karma. Understand or not? But you determine not to do it. Like you take the precept. Understand? But the vow, adhitana, is more severe. I determine from that moment onward, I'm not going to get angry. And you know how the Buddha perfect his 10 perfection? The most powerful one is Satya. Truth. That's why his words are so powerful, understand or not? That's why when he became the Samasambuddha, his words are so powerful. Power of truth. So, when he perfect that, you know what happened? From that day, he determined not to tell lie, to speak only the truth. He perfected the perfection, until he never break that perfection. Ask you to keep your precept also can break already. Not to tell lie. I tell you, I also dare not make that vow. Understand? Because I know I cannot fulfill so easily. But if I make the aspiration to fulfill the perfection, there is no time frame, understand not? Then I believe this nature can finally fulfill it. Do you understand? Because it is a perfection that comes with the whole cultivation. When you have perfected everything, especially wisdom, then it becomes automatic, very easy to fulfill. Okay? So I hope I answer you, Tammy. Sadhu to you for your question. Let us rejoice. So at least it's a condition for you all to understand. So what's the time now? We remember to chant the Heart Sutta. Okay, chant one time. Because they want every day. So we chant at least the Heart Sutta. Then Om Pemi Memi Ho, maybe we do for 1-2 minutes. I think no need the music. Eng Bi Ken. The Om Pemi Memi Ho. She started very well yesterday. Okay, so now we chant Sing Jing first. Let us compose our mind. Then together, those who know how to chant, chant. It's in our chanting book. This one, the mic I pass over. Come. The mic, come. Sing Jing Sen. Sing Jing. Ta Pei Zhuo. Yes, it's true. Okay, one. Tell me, pass the mic to them. Then this one, give to Eng Bi. No. This one give to Eng Bi. That one give to Song.
More.
摩发摩来摩地利依悉依悉舍来舍来阿来僧佛来舍利巴沙巴僧佛来舍耶呼噜呼噜摩来呼噜呼噜悉利沙来沙来悉利悉利苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩陀耶菩陀耶弥地利耶那来金翅毗梨舍利那
婆耶
摩来萨婆诃悉陀耶萨婆诃摩诃悉陀耶萨婆诃悉陀喻依室盘来耶萨婆诃那来金翅萨婆诃那来那来萨婆诃悉来僧阿穆揭耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃阿悉陀耶萨婆诃舍提来阿悉陀耶萨婆诃波陀摩揭悉陀耶萨婆诃那来金翅盘揭来耶萨婆诃摩婆利僧揭来耶萨婆诃南摩诃来赞乃多来耶耶南摩诃利耶婆卢揭帝舍盘来耶萨婆诃安悉殿多曼多来跋陀耶萨婆诃
揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子舍不异空空不异色色即是空空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子是诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是故空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意无色声香味触法无眼界乃至无意识界无无明亦无无明尽乃至无老死亦无老死尽无苦集灭道无智亦无 ยปรปโลมีตัวกุสิงุกวายวุกวายกุวุโยคงปุ远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃刹是诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故的阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知，般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒。十五等等咒能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Do can we hymn the Mahakaruna Dharani Sutta a little bit lah? And want to come and join me? For your information, brothers and sisters, you turn to page 60 of the retreat chanting book. At the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the sixth line, Namo Sarvatatha, you pause. Then only Gatebe. Remember that Namo Sarvatatha, you pause there. And then one line before it, Arahate Sangyatsang Buddhaya, you quickly connect to Namo Sarvatatha. Then only pause. Okay? 60 retreat chanting book. This is Achan Achalo style. Namo Ratnacharyaya, Namo Aryajana, Sakara Virochana, Purajaya Tathagateya, Arhate Samyasambuddhaya, Namo Sarvatathagateya, Gate be arhate be sangyasambuddhe be namo arya avalokite shoraya bodhisattvaya mahasattvaya mahakarunikaya te yata om dara dara diri diri juru juru iti vate sale sale prasale prasale kusuma kusume vare Namo Ratnacharyaya, Namo Aryajana, Sagara Virochana, Purajaya Tathagateya,
Arhate Sangya Sangbuddhaya Namo Sarvatatta Gatebe Arhatebe Sangya Sangbuddhebe Namo Arya Avalokite Shoraya Bodhisattvaya Mahasattvaya Mahakarunikaya Teyata Om Dara Dara Diri Diri Duru Duru Iti Vate Sale Sale Prasale Prasale Kusuma Kusume Ware
Om Mani Padme Hum Om Mani Padme Hum Om Mani Padme Hum Om Mani Padme Hum Om Mani Padme Hum
Okay, we should thank them. Huh? Thank you so much. Huh? Today, very unique. Huh? A lot of things happen. I don't know whether you all know. No? When we take the vow, never mind, no need to tell you. Today is very wholesome. My nature rejoices. A lot of things happen. Huh? I also rejoice. With this, you develop a lot of affinity with all the great beings, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and many things happen. But you can't know, you can't see. But don't worry, you can feel it. A lot of people can feel it. So now we recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have done, all the affinity that we have cultivated. May we now share and transfer these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana ittavata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyati nang hotu sita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the great beings and worthy ones. Then we end.